ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, big show today. Charlie Pierce,
yep.
Bob Seska, and Jim, a gift for you. Hot Brie in hour number three, live in studio.
Hey,
after this, Melissa Fitzgerald. It's her birthday.
She's filled with squeeziness.
It's her birthday.
Oh, really?
And
oh,
she's been naughty, Jim.
Really?
Very.
So she needs a
very
spanking, is what you're implying.
No, that wasn't what I was implying. Just kidding. Okay. All right. And Donald Sterling will not shut up. So there is comedy.
Oh, God.
God brings us more comedy today. Oh, dear. Where do we even start? Because
let's start with that.
Probably we should. By the way, Jim, the reviews on the Twitterverse on your Trey Gowdy impression is just through the charts.
So.
Because, let's see. Someone else had a new description. Marvin the Martian meets Gomer Pyle.
I claim this
hearing
in the name of Mars.
Right, or Benghazi. Marvin the Martian meets Gomer Pyle. Shazam!
Surprise!
I need that Iridium Q38 space modulator.
Space modulator.
There is some Marvin the Martian in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we tie it to Looney Tunes.
Okay, all right, Trey Gowdy. Oh, and someone sent me, I retweeted their hair's a name. But it's the Brady Bunch thing. There's like six different pictures of his hair, and it's different every single time. It's like magic.
Wow.
He's ridiculous. All right. Oh, and also, our listener is the most immature in the world from the Twitterverse, because I was saying Barbara Walters retires Thursday.
Yes, Thursday.
And we were just hoping that there are more, people with our names that she will be interviewing before Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Ben suggested Weta Wadna, Wex Weed, Wandy Wodes, Weith Witherspoon, Wuth Bader Ginsburg, Wobbin Wobbits, all this week for Bob and Wobbits. All this week on Bob and Wobbits. Because she is just getting punked at this point, because V. Stiviano said, I am Donald Sterling's silly rabbit. What?
Silly rabbit.
Tweets
up for kids.
Oh, messing with my awes. All right.
And I'm Tom Brokaw and a retiring Kellum of Saturday Night Live.
Right. Just as we have that wish that everyone with every L name in the world will be in Tom Brokaw's last week.
Gina Lola Brigida.
There you go.
She's no longer with us, is she?
She's no longer with us, I'm told.
Okay. All right. So, Donald Sterling, this is from the Anderson Cooper, CNN?
Yeah.
Okay. Magic Johnson has the those aides, you
according
know.
To Donald
right.
Sterling.
Oh,
boy.
Okay. Here is a man who's, I don't know if I say this, he acts so holy. I mean, he made love to every girl in every city in America.
So
he had AIDS. And when he had those AIDS,
I went to
my synagogue and I prayed for him.
Oh.
I hoped he could live and
be
well.
Uh-huh.
I didn't criticize him. I could have. Is he an example for children? You know, because he has money, he's able to treat himself.
First of all, not to be racist, but pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
First of all,
sleeping with all these women.
Love? Okay. All right. Wow. So let me get this straight. So Donald Sterling's sex life would be a role model for the kids. I see.
Yes.
But not.
He has a sterling sex life, you see.
Yes, I see what you're saying.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Sterling sex life.
That seems a little lost on him that maybe he's not one to judge.
A lot of things seem lost on him.
Yeah.
And which is why I think Shelley Sterling may be right in that he may be in the early stages of dementia.
Oh, dear. Did she say that? Shelley Sterling, where is this now?
Shelley Sterling says he's lost his marbles.
This is from the Barbara Walters interview.
Okay.
I was shocked by what he said, but I don't know why I should be punished for what his actions were.
So she wants her money.
Right.
She wants her part of the team.
Right, but I don't think that's going to happen from what I was reading yesterday. What's his name? Adam Silver, I think, was clear that, she's part of the...
Yeah, and I think the bylaws state that if 3/4 of the team's vote that that they need to sell the team. All right. owning interests need to sell the team, including Shelley
Sterling. That was in the LA Times yesterday. Yeah. That so I don't think that's going to happen. But the AIDS, I just, you know, that you
those AIDS,
yeah,
you got those AIDS.
At least use the plural.
You got one AIDS at a time.
Right, right.
And collected the AIDS till he had the AIDSes.
Those ones, not the other ones.
No.
No.
And, you know, a lot of people got AIDS not from sex, but from bad blood products. Right. You know, hemophiliacs were devastated by that.
Right.
That whole thing.
Right. Yeah, I don't think he's really in a place to judge anyone else's
sex life.
Sex life, no.
Computer says no.
All right, so that happened. All right, so we had Charlie Pierce and Bob Seska with some great stuff. Hey, by the way, you know, I like to open with a happy clappy news.
All right.
Charlie Pierce covers this very well. But Democrats, as it turns out, actually have a chance of keeping the Senate. They have a competitive chance in three southern states, according to new polls.
Hmm.
Oh, no. The media storyline that we're all doomed. Everybody's doomed.
Hmm.
My
evil plans have been foiled.
Apparently for now. For Democrats, dispirited by the recent wave of gloomy midterm numbers for their party, NBC Marist poll, blah, blah, blah. Democrats are competitive in three key southern states, Arkansas, Georgia, and Kentucky. Senator Mark Pryor is leading Tom Cotton by 11 points in Arkansas. That's one of three polls recently to show the same thing. NBC Marist also giving Democrats a legitimate shot at pickup of the open U.S. Senate seat in Georgia. How about that? Saxby Chambliss's seat. And then in another possible pickup, the poll shows Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell essentially tied with Democratic challenger Alison Lundgren Grimes. Although I'm going to guess, Jim, that he thinks that slow and steady.
Slow and steady wins the race.
They're neck and neck.
Right.
Maybe he's waiting the last
second
to pop his turtle head out.
Neck and necks.
Right. Right. Maybe he doesn't have his neck out yet. Maybe he's just, got her just where he wants her.
That's his secret weapon, his neck.
Yeah, exactly.
I can extend my neck several feet away from my shell.
Right, right at the finish line.
So look out. Here it comes. Wait for it. Wait for it.
He's waiting for the last minute charge, along with a lot of his relatives from the Galapagos, and at the last moment. All right.
The Galapagos Islands.
What? Wow. Speaking of races, did you see this? Clay Aiken's opponent died.
What? That was weird.
I'm not saying, because accidents do happen, bones do break, but...
You know, the gay mafia is powerful.
Accidents will happen.
What?
Oh, my God. You're joking, and I bet you that's in right-wing radio today.
Oh, it's already been in right-wing
radio. Really?
Yes, it has.
In the Twitterverse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That the gay mafia killed him?
Yeah.
Mm.
You know how competitive those American Idol kids are.
Oh, yeah. You don't come in second without having broken a few bones.
Oops, fell on my knife 17 times.
Might have stepped on a bag of vipers. You never know. Guys are clumsy sometimes.
Hey, if you're stumbling off the top of the Hancock building, a gust of wind could blow you right down into State Street. Or Michigan
this
Avenue.
It's not in Chicago. It's in North Carolina.
Okay.
By the way, we had Clay Aiken on, and he is delightful. His opponent in the North Carolina 2nd Congressional District, Keith Crisco. This really is a weird story. He's only 71, but they said he fell.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sometimes guys get clumsy. They have accidents.
So did Clay Aiken smear Crisco?
Oh, you know, really?
What?
Really? Did you prepare that in advance? Because
maybe.
If you
I
did,
don't know.
If you did.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I'll just be over here.
What do you call it when somebody hits somebody in the head with a can of Crisco? Coup de grace.
Ah,
see, literally.
See,
gras,
because
of fat.
Yes.
People are always getting that wrong. Coup de grace.
All right. He had fallen. No other information was immediately available. They said the police department said he was dead by the time emergency responders arrived. They would not immediately give any other details, including cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
That might
wow.
be time for double drama stings there.
I like that one better. It's got a lot of bass
much,
in it.
Much more subtle, yeah. Yeah. Who else do they say has either really, really good luck politically? I don't know whether it's Obama. I can't remember. Because there's somebody that's had that, you know, that kind of luck as they've... I'm not saying there was anything sinister. I'm just saying.
Boom, boom, boom.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Aiken said he was stunned and deeply saddened by Keith Grisko's death, adding he was suspending all campaign activities as we pray with for his family and friends. At the time of his death, the race still too close to call. Aiken was leading Crispo by just 369 votes. The votes are scheduled to be today, right? We're scheduled to be certified.
That, yeah.
Hmm. They were locked in a battle to take on GOP Representative Renee Elmers.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I am.
And so Aiken doesn't automatically win. If Crisco wins, then the Democratic Party of North Carolina will appoint someone to run against, you know, the Republican in the fall.
He will still have a better personality than Mitch McConnell. Okay.
A dead person will not be running.
Okay. Same. All right. By the way, I can't talk about anything else until we talk about the little tiny chihuahua that got rescued.
And there's a Fukushima cat who was found after 3 years.
Yeah. Did you see that? I sent you that story.
Jimmy, if you really were a cat man, you would adopt that cat.
No, it went back to the family.
Oh, it did?
After
yeah.
3 years.
Yes.
Wow.
It was lost for 3 years.
And they published a picture in the paper.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
They got their cat.
I sent you that story.
That's a happy ending. I didn't get to that.
Because oh. I had a picture of a cat.
This is the dog story.
Okay.
The bad news is they're still in Japan near Fukushima.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, they named him Freeway. We don't know what his name is. A big-hearted California Highway Patrol officer saved a terrified chihuahua
yeah.
from a busy highway divider. People are douchebags.
Yeah.
The picture of the rescue has become a social media sensation.
Mm-hmm.
He named the female chihuahua Freeway.
Mm-hmm.
It was in San Francisco during rush hour in San Francisco on the divider. The rescue picture has been retweeted nearly 1,000 times. And he used a protein bar. Did you see that?
Yeah. He was terrified. He was up on top of the cable,
yeah.
just all huddled. She.
Yeah. Right. And he said the officer said it's not uncommon for unwanted animals to be discarded on highway dividers. Why are people such douchebags? He said there are better solutions. There are a lot of people who would have wanted this little puppy. Instead of discarding it in that manner where they're essentially giving it a death sentence, just give it to an animal shelter. And the good news is they've obviously received already tons of offers to adopt.
Yeah.
To adopt her and also other animals at the same shelters, because stories like this spike interest in rescue.
I hope
yay.
I never see anybody
yay.
Throwing an animal
oh, yeah.
out of a car.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I would have
I'm
to ram
I'm not a gun
them.
Person, but if I had a bazooka.
I would have to ram the car and
an anti-aircraft missile.
I wish I, yeah, sometimes I wish
I would
I had,
shoot an anti-aircraft missile
at
anyone that left a dog on a freeway.
Yeah. I wish I had 50 caliber machine guns in the front of my car sometimes.
Right. Right.
But fortunately, I haven't seen that.
Right. Well,
that's why I'm not in prison.
In the park near my house, people just dump animals, and then,
God.
They get hit
by
cars.
Coyotes.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
God.
Mostly they get rescued by me, because people are hip now.
Yeah, the crazy dog lady lives right over here.
Right, right. My friends, you know, Robin Trish, they have 7 dogs.
Really?
And the last one, they found in their driveway. I'm like, because people know to drop their dog in front of your house, because you guys are suckers.
Yeah.
Why do you Oh, look what happened again. It's like magic.
Wow.
Oh,
it's like a beacon, homing beacon for people
yeah.
who want to unload
the sucker,
their pets.
Right, it's
yeah.
like sucker GPS. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. Did you see someone on Facebook put us in SportsCenter?
Yes.
Because yesterday's show was all about the combine.
Whatever.
That was listener Alan that did that.
Yes, it's an old picture of the three of us, and we look like we're in a sports
That's movie. A really old picture. That was me about 30 pounds ago.
And all yesterday, Jim looked like he was holding Fred like a football. Fred's head was just right here.
Yeah.
All day.
We put that SportsCenter picture up on your Facebook page.
Did we? Well, that's just like magic.
Sports.
Everybody was mocking me, like, oh, that's cute, Steffi talking football. I got more email yesterday than I think I've gotten in my entire life from, you know, because guys love to teach chicks about sports.
Right.
You know, you don't understand. It's really important to combine. All right. Okay. I stand corrected. Combine is very, very important. I just, you know, I was asking what degree might homophobia have been involved in him being drafted. I wasn't the only person saying that. In him being drafted so low, but he had a bad combine, I'm told.
Yeah, he's got a bad combine.
And a bad thresher.
I was watching all kinds of analysis about that yesterday, and they all said that the combine is really, really important. So I don't know where you got your information.
I'm sorry I disrespected the combine, everybody. It won't happen again, because I won't ever be talking about it again. All right. Eh, boy. Okay, the other thing we missed yesterday in all the combine talk... Charlie writes about this. They've just become the Dopey Dope McDoperson Party. Marco Rubio joining the climate deniers. Excuse me? There's going to be plenty of water for him to drink at some point because the sea level.
Sure.
It's especially at his home in Miami.
Which will be underwater soon.
Right.
Yes. I love the headline. Senator Marco Rubio, yes, I'm ready to be president. Are you sure you don't want to drink some water first? asked this week if he's ready to be president. He said, I do. Well, I think not.
Computer says no.
But I think that's true for...
It's soon to get married.
But I think that's true for multiple other people that would want to run. Okay. I mean, I'll be 43 this month, but the other thing that perhaps people don't realize, I've served in public now for the better part of 14 years. Oh, good boy.
Good boy.
Good boy.
Doing what exactly?
When asked if he was qualified to run, Rubio reiterated the Republican Party has several qualified candidates. Ooh, that is a yes, a deep, deep bench.
What metric did
you
use?
You know the last
for that?
Time I saw a bench that deep? The combine. Okay.
I don't think the combine has a bench.
I know. That's one of the
okay.
This is what happens when I talk sports.
Oh, boy.
It's just not
sports.
Rubio took aim at Hillary Clinton. Huh. Well, that's the new sport. I'm sure she's going to go out bragging about her time in the State Department. He said she's also going to have to be held accountable for her failures, whether it's the failed reset with Russia. Yes, that's entirely her fault. Everything Putin is doing is entirely her fault, particularly when he invaded Georgia when George Bush was president. That clearly was her fault.
She egged him on.
Or the failure in?
Benghazi.
Right.
Yeah.
That was well, very good. That was tough
also
to guess
not
that.
Her.
I have to guess that B word.
I'm hopped up on goofballs this morning. So.
Right? It's going to be two B words, bitch and Benghazi.
Right.
The entire Hillary campaign. Blah, blah, blah. Rubio, who expressed a deep skepticism about whether man-made activity has played a role in the Earth.
Yeah. Just wait till Miami's underwater.
Told Jonathan Carl, he does not believe there is action that could be taken right now that would have an impact on what's occurring with our climate.
Yeah.
No. Right. Why even bother? I do not believe that human activity is causing these dramatic changes to our climate. The way
I don't believe
the way
in gravity.
The way these scientists are portraying it.
I think gravity is just a myth.
Wow. And I do not believe that the laws they propose we will pass will do anything about it except it will destroy our economy. What a dope.
And I don't believe you have a brain in your head.
Wow. We. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think I'll have some breakfast wine. You can't drink my wine. I brought this wine as a gift. Therefore, it is my wine. And I will drink whatever I want. You sexy towny hoe.
I'm loser towny girl. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce, Bob Seska, and activist Melissa Fitzgerald all coming up on the big show. Hot brief for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, so we were talking about Marco Rubio. Jim brought that prop just for the Marco Rubio
That's
impression.
Right.
Are you thirsty? Good boy. Okay.
So I'm ready to be. Wait a minute.
Yes, there's going
to
be.
I'm so ready to be present.
There's going to be plenty of water soon. Why? Because of idiots like him that don't believe in global warming.
Antarctica is melting.
Yeah.
Nimrod.
Yeah.
I think it's God's will.
Yeah, Charlie Pierce writes about it. It is fairly terrifying.
Yeah,
the sea level is, you know, rising, and there's no. Whatever. Now we can't stop it. We can only slow it. I mean, it really is.
Florida's going to join Atlantis.
Yeah.
Soon.
Drink up. Drink up, Marco. Anyway, he said, we've had hurricanes in Florida forever. And
okay, thanks, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, the question is, what do we do about the fact that we built expensive structures, real estate, and population centers near those vulnerable areas? I have no problem with taking mitigation activity.
Oh.
Oh, I see. So he doesn't want to do anything about the stuff that's causing hurricanes, but just, you know, just buttress just, the
yeah,
structures.
Yeah, build a higher seawall.
Sure.
Right. Mitigate just the damage that will happen from, you
know. He wants to put his finger in the dike.
Right. I'll get to the Arkansas story in a minute. All right. Senator Marco Rubio.
I do not believe that human activity is causing these dramatic changes to our climate the way these scientists are portraying it. That's what I do not. And I do not believe that the laws that they propose we pass will do anything about it, except it will destroy our economy.
I don't believe that brain activity is happening in your head.
This is what it's gotten to be like an opinion question now. I don't believe.
I don't believe 2 plus 2 equals 4.
Scientists are
That's
saying.
Mathematicians.
Did you see John Oliver did a funny bit on, he brought, like, I don't know, 99 scientists out.
Right.
There. He had
yes.
like a fake
In white lab coats,
on,
yeah.
Bill Knott, 9. He's like, all right, and now let's have, they're all just screaming. All right, Senator Marco Rubio again.
Our climate is always changing. And what they have chosen to do is take a handful of decades of research and say that this is
decades?
Now evidence of a longer-term trend that's directly and almost solely attributable to man-made activity.
Yes, it's called science. Look
yeah.
into it.
Oh, my God.
No, it's God's will. He's just hugging us tighter.
Yep, just hugging us tighter. we chokes off our air. Wow, here's how I know God is a sexy liberal. That guy is apparently one of the best they can do for a presidential candidate. And also, Chris Christie, oh dear. His latest misery, new deeds. Who told us this? Charlie Pierce, they said the main, his record is going to be the beats him, not even Bridgegate, is the New Jersey's finances. In Politico, here's how drastically Chris Christie's political fortunes have turned. Bridgegate may not be his biggest problem. He's getting blamed for a yawning budget deficit and recent downgrade of the state's debt. Christie, oh, I know, Dean Albadella, Jersey boy,
That's
is
right.
telling us this. Christie and state lawmakers have less than 2 months to close a sudden budget hole. Analysts say the governor's administration brought on the problem by projecting the state could collect more in tax revenue than it did. Central tenet of Christie's comeback attempt, of course, is that he's led an economic miracle in New Jersey.
Not so much, really.
Really? Fitch Ratings, one of the big three credit ratings, downgraded New Jersey's debt. It was one of the fifth downgrade since he took office.
Oh.
Boom! The state's unemployment was 7.2% in March, above the national jobless rate that fell to 6.3%, if you'll recall, last month. Nationally, the state has gained back only 56% of the jobs lost during the 2008 financial crisis, according to Moody's. It's making them very moody, in fact.
Yes,
yeah.
I've heard.
The climate is New Jersey. The housing sector not helping either. Mortgage Bankers Association recently ranked Jersey as having the highest share of seriously delinquent mortgages or homes in foreclosure. Still, the size of Jersey's budget gap is drawing the most notice, giving the overall economic upswing in most corners of the country. Aw, he seems to be weighing it down somehow, the economy in New Jersey. Just dragging him under. It's unusual for a period of economic expansion, said a top economist. It's been almost 5 years since the end of the Great Recession. Most states are in a better fiscal position than they've been since the end of the recession. The state has repeatedly resorted to one-time measures to fill its budget gap.
So Jersey's having the moody blues.
Yes.
They need some knights in white satin to
yes.
save them.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Thank you for that. Indeed. All right. All right, who's having fun with the Ann Coulter thing
oh,
on,
everybody
on
is.
Twitter?
Everybody
I'm a brand
is.
New Twitter queen, and this is funny.
Yes. She doesn't seem to know how the Twitter machine works.
Yeah, Charlie Pierce writes about this. We'll talk to him. She is just, well, I mean, like, we need to say it. She's just awful.
She's too bitey.
As Carlos Alzraki says, leave her on the island of Dr. Moreau.
She's a little bitey.
She is too bitey. this is what's hilarious, because she... And they were saying, I mean, this is perfect for social media, but she's just awful. She's using, like, these poor kidnapped Nigerian kids just to make a point
yep.
about what? About Michelle Obama? So Michelle Obama, Charlie writes about this, among many other people, and it was started by a Nigerian attorney, I believe, the hashtag, you know, bring back our girls.
Right.
I mean, so it's like in an effort to mock Michelle Obama. I mean, she's basically mocking so this was, what was her thing? She said, oh, bring back my country. She had tweeted a picture of herself with a hashtag, bring back my country.
Yeah, but she put spaces in between the words, and you can't do that on
even I know that, and I've been on Twitter for like a minute and a half. Anyway, who is this gawker? Here's a collection of Twitter trolls teaching Photoshop to Ann Coulter. Yeah, Ann Coulter should not hold a sign up that can then be Photoshopped right. with a million other things on it. Oh, there's one, pig pooping. That's a good one. Is this gawker? I don't know if this is
gawker. Why?
I don't know. Ann Coulter's bull conservative troll game is slipping. In her zeal to land a jab against Twitter, Michelle Obama, Nigerian schoolgirls,
yeah.
She opened a door for her detractors, and they jumped through it with a two-legged flying kick of Photoshop fury. So Michelle Obama, among others, obviously, and by the way, Bob Seska writes about this too. It's not, this isn't a message to the kidnappers.
Right.
It's a worldwide for governments and people to put pressure on Nigeria. Anyway, to the plight of the kidnapped Nigerian girls, Michelle Obama, the right-wing meme is now that Michelle Obama trivialized the story by hashtagging it. She can't say anything about anything. I mean, forget it. We should eat healthier. We maybe should move. Drink water.
Uh-huh.
It's all horribly crazy, controversial stuff. One could read a bunch of racial into a tweet like that, but why bother? It's just stupid. Oh, my team isn't winning, so this fake version of America, sunshine patriotism. More to the point, it's indicative of how a conservative doesn't get social media. Here is how social media responds. So somebody, Lori, tweeted a blank version of the signs. Yep. Everybody just... hashtag drowning in privilege. There's that one. Hashtag bring back duck lips.
duck lips.
Yeah, that, have you seen that on Instagram?
No.
It's a thing where you take a picture of yourself, you go,
She looks like she's doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Duck Adam's apple?
Coulter's performance of discursive outrage is not only infantile, it's not even up to 2004 era outrage technologies. If you can't figure out how to win in the Twitterverse with an old copy of Adobe Creative Suite, how quaint is your rhetorical position? Play to your strengths, kid. Go back to selling obscene amounts of dumb books to the olds before they all die. Nice try. Nice try in the Twitterverse. They won't politicize anything, you know? I mean, it's just instead of saying, hey, you know, we all ought to stand united in outrage of these poor girls. And it's like, no, it's a chance to get a shot at Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Alan West. Speaking of crazy, Alan West, focus on Boko Haram is an Obama ploy to distract from?
Benghazi.
Right. He says it's a wag the dog moment by the Obama administration.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, you know, they've already blamed Hillary for this,
right.
And things that you think are a joke, but no, because I guess she didn't designate Boko Haram as a terrorist organization.
Something like that. But then John Kerry did, like, a little while ago.
Boko Haram is not a terrorist organization.
Right, Jim, thank you.
They are a whiter shade of pale.
Right, right. Let's not get all racial with this, Jim.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, what was my point? Where was I going? I forget
who
now.
Knows?
Who can say? He said, are we witnessing an Obama wag the dog moment with Boko Haram in Nigeria? Yeah, you think this is a joke, but Hillary, we all know she was too busy forcing her child to procreate to have been behind this Nigerian kidnapping plot. She was in the bedroom. Let's go. Get it up. Get it in. Need a grandchild. Let's go. 2016, TikTok, Chelsea. okay, so West asked that rhetorically. I say yes. West also noted the suspicious timing of the original movie hitting theaters just before the scandal involving Monica Lewinsky, combined with her reemergence last week. I digress, he wrote, or maybe not. Is he just a complete crazy person at this time?
It's just
continued,
random stray thoughts,
right,
floating in and out of his head.
Right. He wrote, what better time than right now to create the straw man of Boko Haram? Another distraction for which no real action will take place. Anyone remember Joseph Kony? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, what exactly is happening in Ukraine? Well, he's just it really is like a crazy thought train. Got to give it to the Democrats.
Definitely.
They know how
Definitely.
To make life imitate art. Sadly, as a nation, we're falling for another episode of liberal progressive wag the dog. Wow. That is...
God.
All right. Okay, so I guess that's
deep thoughts.
Joseph Kony, clearly Hillary's fault as well.
He's nuts.
Okay. All right. So all that happened, and we all let it. 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
The shirt, how cliche.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ooh, maybe Hot Bree will bring her a stripper pole in.
Hey.
Birthday dance for you, Jim.
I think it's attached to her ceiling, though.
Oh, that's true. All right. Charlie Pierce also coming up next hour, yeah. And Bob Seska of the Daily Banter, all with some great stuff. All right, so we were saying, what do you call it, Ann Coulter, among others, using the plight of the Nigerian girls as a way to make fun of Michelle Obama.
That's right.
Which
wow.
is lovely. By the way, Chuck Hagel, defense secretary on the Nigerian situation.
This is not going to be an easy task, but we're going to bring to bear every asset we can possibly use to help the Nigerian government.
Which is, anyway, that this is meant to raise awareness. It's
yeah.
not, okay, all right. Representative Mike Rogers, oh, he's going to be a brand new radio talk show host soon.
Great.
Based on how many years of experience now?
Zero.
Okay.
Zero.
Mike
Zero.
Rogers' neighborhood.
All right. And just FYI, Randy Rhodes with 30 years of experience, best in the business, retiring Friday because of douchebags like him. Okay, here he is.
You can't base your policy on what's trending on Twitter. It has to be more than hashtags and selfies.
It is, Mike. And you know it. Because you sit on,
it's not a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's like when they mock Michelle Obama doing the let's move or let's eat healthier or, you know.
Or let's drink water.
Right. It is actually a huge problem in America, healthcare-wise, money-wise, mm-hmm. childhood obesity is a serious thing. And it's just, anyway. All right. By the way, let's go back up again. Uh-huh. Jay Carney.
Our intelligence experts are combing over every detail of it for clues that might help in the ongoing efforts to secure the release of the girls.
All right.
And I guess some of the parents are scanning the picture or the video that was released yesterday.
Yeah.
Some parents are finding their kids. Other parents aren't. It's just a really sad situation.
Oy. Speaking of sad, wow, have they got nothing on Hillary, do they?
Nope.
So Karl Rove hypothesized that Hillary Clinton might have suffered brain damage from a blood clot received in 2012.
And he's a physician from where?
Oh, they may need to send a video of this to Bill Frist to get a real diagnosis.
Mm.
He said 30 days in the hospital, and when she reappears, she's wearing glasses that are only for people who have traumatic brain injury. We need to know what's up with that. He is reprehensible. He really is. It's just, it's the just saying kind of Fox journalism.
Yep.
I'm just asking. I'm just saying. I don't have anything to base that
I
on.
I have no evidence of any kind.
But, let's see. So Nicole Wallace, the member of the Bush administration director of communications,
mm-hmm.
So she went on to talk about it. She said, well, questions about a candidate's health are not illegitimate. They're part of any presidential campaign. Sure, but not mindless speculation based just on desperation that you
well,
got
nothing
else to
glasses,
be
well, she was wearing glasses, so therefore.
Right. So but in your years of medical training, Carl, excuse me. Anyway, I don't know who wrote this piece, but they said by the end of those comments, the outlandishness of Rove's original conjecture is wafting away while the panel is talking about Clinton's age and health. What are the odds that was the segue was exactly Rove's plan in overreaching? And how little does Rove care that he's going to be the butt of one news cycle while ensuring that Clinton's health will be continually introduced into televised conversation under the guise of talking about his gaffe? He's... Anyway, so that smacks of desperation to me.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Glasses. Brain damage.
And, of course, your hero Ronald Reagan had that thing.
Right.
That
right.
I forget what
right.
it was.
Right. How many times have you heard that when you're at LensCrafters? Oh, well, you obviously have brain damage.
Right.
Here's a nice pair of frames for that.
For your brain damage.
And here's another pair of frames because it's buy one, get one free.
Right.
My spidey senses tell me you have a tumor and that you'll need these kind of glasses.
Rick in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes, hi.
Got to tell you, you guys are very entertaining.
Thank you.
I appreciate the entertainment value.
Uh-huh.
What I want to talk to you about is global warming.
Uh-huh.
That you guys on the left seem to take as...
scientists believe in that.
Basically...
You mean all scientists are on the left?
Well, pretty much most of them are, because they come from academia, which we know is controlled by the left.
Right.
No.
So you mean like hard facts, like numbers, and stuff?
Numbers have a liberal bias, obviously.
The hockey puck guy or the hockey stick guy, whatever, you know.
Huh? Who? Who now?
Anyway.
Who's the hockey stick guy?
What I wanted to ask you about.
No, who's the hockey stick guy?
They had a little thing.
Who's the hockey stick guy? Who are you talking about, the hockey stick guy?
You know, the guy from Pennsylvania or wherever he's from that you guys all hang your hat on, that global warming thing, you know.
That global warming thing.
But,
right.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, can I get to my point?
Oh, sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, I mean, I think already so many good ones. I'm just writing it down so I can research. Pennsylvania
See, that's
hockey
what I mean.
Stick
you guys
guy.
Are so entertaining.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay, go
Anyways,
ahead.
Anyways, in 1487, they had a thing called the Little Ice Age. Mm-hmm. There were no factories. There were no cars.
Right.
There was just global changing in the climate.
Right, the solar cycle.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Yes.
But right now, man is doing things to accelerate global warming.
Really?
It's
CO2. You haven't heard of solar flares?
Yes.
Yes, we have.
Is this too
far out of your
reach to grab that?
Rick, that happens as well.
In addition to man-made global warming.
As Sarah Palin would say, also too, in addition.
Can you grasp that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. There's no help for you.
Over again.
You and your facts. Your liberal facts.
Rick, you were a little snarky with me, so I was snarky with you.
I apologize for Chris being as big a condescending douche as you were being. But it does help learning the more condescending you can make your vocal tone, I find.
Really? Because you know what I find kind of condescending?
I rest my case.
Is the big guy with the beard sounds like a girl over the phone.
Big guy with a beard sounds like a girl? Well,
anyways, I'm just...
Did you just gay bash me, dude?
Though?
Did you just gay bash me?
Something other than...
Dude, did you just gay bash me?
Footprint.
Stop changing the subject.
I think I could take you out.
And not for dinner.
He sounds like a girl? Wow, I don't know what girls you've been dating, honey.
Big ones. Big
ones. They obviously need their estrogen shots.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for taking my call.
All
man.
Right. Thank
love you.
You. Okay. Love you too. Okay. It really helps to help that people learn the more patronizing you can be. Jim.
You know, the academia.
Have
people,
you heard of
all
solar
leftists.
Flares?
Yes. Which does not preclude.
You know why you like the hockey stick guy that you hang your hat on in
sure,
Pennsylvania?
Because
the hockey stick
guy.
Looks like a penis.
Who's the hockey stick guy?
Is he talking about Chris Matthews? He's the guy from Pennsylvania.
I don't know.
You
know
he has nothing to do with a hockey stick.
I know.
Who's the global climate change guy from Pennsylvania?
What
All
is
right.
he talking about?
Does he mean Bill Nye?
That's what I was wondering.
That
was is he from Pennsylvania?
I have no idea.
Hockey puck?
Hockey stick
He's
guy.
He's talking about Don Rickles?
Okay.
The hockey puck guy?
Oh, that was so awesome and confusing.
Wow.
What did we all learn from that?
That I sound like a girl.
What do you think?
That's my takeaway.
I got to use my no-no on you over the break. You are hairy. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In honor of Rick in Washington, I'm going to talk in this really patronizing voice for the rest of the show.
I'm not patronizing. I'm condescending. There's a difference.
Okay. And you just stay there sounding like a girl.
Okay, yeah.
All right, okay, I found it.
How do I sound like a girl
stick
when
guy.
I have this cold?
I don't know.
I mean, my voice is like deeper than it usually is.
Yeah, you sound like you smoked Brendan Vaccaro.
Tell me about it.
But he claims that academia is full of liberals. I think, great.
I guess this
yes.
must be the hockey stick guy we all hang our hats on, yeah. in that I never heard of him.
Who's this?
Michael
the
Mayer.
Hockey stick guy from Pennsylvania, Mr. I've never heard of solar flares. All right, I'll stop. this is the hockey stick guy. He's a professor.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it now. 7 years ago, Michael Mann introduced a graph that became an iconic symbol of humanity's contribution to global warming. These are the fun facts. Oh, that was loud. Wow.
Ooh.
Ooh, my box is touchy this morning. He has been
this morning?
He has been defending his science ever since. Mann is most famously known for the hockey stick. Okay, Rick in Washington, you're right.
Uh-huh.
A plot of the past millennium's temperature that shows the drastic influence of humans in the 20th century. Specifically, temperature remains essentially flat until about 1900, then shoots up like
right.
the upturned blade of
mm-hmm.
a hockey stick.
Uh-huh.
That stick has become a focal point in the controversy surrounding climate change and what to do about it. Proponents see it as a clear indicator that humans are warming the globe. Skeptics argue the climate is undergoing natural fluctuations, mm-hmm. not unlike those in eras past, which is what Rick was trying to tell us.
Yes, there are natural fluctuations. This isn't one of them.
And Marco Rubio.
And the graph conforms precisely to the increase in CO2 and
right.
rising temperatures. It's
oh, are those the numbers you're... Scientist
oh,
friends
your academic
told you,
liberal
your
friends
liberal
with their liberal
friends.
Academia. Math has a liberal bias. Everyone knows that.
Okay. Oh, surprisingly, some people have some thoughts on Rick in Washington.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Where am I going? Oh, I went to the wrong one.
Oh, dear.
And I did it again. Yep. Okay. Let's go to Barry in Colorado. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barry.
Howdy. How you doing today?
I'm okay.
Okay. What I was calling about is I get really frustrated with these people who call up and say climate change is cyclical or it's man-made.
Right.
It doesn't matter. In the end, everyone's dead. So
right.
if they don't care about
we'll be
anything,
arguing just underwater.
But the economy will be fabulous.
No,
that's all they care
right.
about.
The economy
yeah,
will be fabulous.
For people
and
that sell
no
boats.
One there to enjoy
yeah.
it.
Exactly.
But anyway, that's the only thing I wanted to
yep.
say. I just
all
get
right.
so frustrated.
I know. Me too. Me too. For people that sell ARCs, business will be great. All right. John in Washington. Hello, John. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama. Hey, Could you and George Soros get together and form an institution so that I can make money calling Sean Hannity and pestering him with non-facts and BS?
I will bring that up with George when I go yes. to collect my giant bag of cash that he gives me every week.
Thank you. The other thing, the little ice age, I think I remember reading an article that was caused by the eruption of Krakatoa
right.
east of Java. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that hockey stick graph. That's a direct representation of the level of CO2, like you said, and temperature going up. I
right.
mean, we just lost the largest part of the Antarctic ice shelf
mm-hmm.
that's ever been and ever
yeah.
ever was and ever will be. And they say sea level could go up by 13 feet in 100 years.
Wow.
I
should have asked
years.
Rick in Washington what he thinks of the Michael Sam kiss and also the AIDS.
Those AIDS.
Those AIDS, as Donald Sterling
those
would
AIDS's.
Say.
We should probably reset that.
I got to hear that again.
Okay.
Yes, he gave another bizarre interview to Henderson Cooper on CNN about Magic Johnson.
Here is a man who's...
Oh, boy.
I don't know if I say this. He acts so holy. I mean, he made love to every girl in every city in America, mm. and he had AIDS. And when he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue and I prayed for him. I hoped he could live and be well.
Not.
I didn't criticize him. I could have. Is he an example for children?
Mm.
You know,
not
because he has
you.
Money, he's able to treat himself.
He
so,
should have stopped that.
Review.
I probably shouldn't say this.
Let me just review. Okay, and he presumably knew there was a recording device this time.
Yeah.
So he thinks that he is in a position to talk about someone with a lot of money that may not be a good example to children because of their sex life. Okay.
Huh.
All right.
So by his own definition, he should shut the heck up.
And he apparently gathered those AIDS one at a time.
Yep.
Okay. All righty. Oh, let's go to Jeff in Las Vegas. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, on your, once again, another caller, another one of our brilliant folk skeptics who don't need a bunch of dang scientists to tell him about the energy exchange between, say, the Earth and the solar system and all that kind of stuff on the global warming. Just one plea that I have for the folk skeptics out there. Stop talking about the sun like scientists have never heard of it. His question to you was, you ever heard of solar flares?
And I hadn't until right when he said that. Just kidding.
The people who told him about solar flares were scientists. Number two, the people who study global warming study the sun. We've got telescopes. There are satellites that study the thing. They are aware of the sun. Stop bringing it up.
This man has turned you into Gilbert Gottfried. You're aware of that, right? Let's go to Carmen in Pensacola. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carmen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Now two things. My first thing is I really, really, really wish we could get people, especially Democrats, to concentrate more on 2014, on strengthening the Senate, and retaking the House. I do believe that is possible.
By the way, did you? I just did the story last hour that the polling is actually looking good. That we got to stop buying these media, you know, storylines that we're doomed and we're going to lose the Senate. We got to get out and vote. And the polling is showing that we can do it.
Exactly. They will soon be trying to change their meme from not a total tsunami for the Democrats, but probably a little rainfall. And my second thing is, Hillary talked for 2016. It's really working a nerve with me, but that's a whole other story. Second thing is climate change thingy. And then, I hear a lot of people on the right talking about what is God's will, whatever. That is true that God did say the earth will warm, but he also put us here to take care of the earth.
Right.
That's why he put Adam and Eve in the garden. I am a preacher's kid, so if any of them want to argue with me about the Bible.
Wait a minute. I thought Ann Coulter said that God said it's the planet is yours. Take it, rape it, do whatever you want.
No, he did not. He put Adam and Eve in the garden to till the land, to take care of the land, because we only get one earth. So therefore, the Koch brothers don't get to poison the land, poison the water, poison the air for their financial gain, because it's not, they did not create the air, create the land, and create the water. So when they can show me where they created all of this stuff, then by George, do what you will with it.
Yes, very good, very good. A little Bible rant. Yeah. A little warm-up for John Fugelstein. Yes, Chris?
I have an email. Chris, you sound like the hairy lady with the huge Adam's apple I hired down by the docks last month, and 2 weeks ago, and again last week, and probably tonight. Signed, David Vitter.
I need to get it. Okay, Scott in Seattle. Hello, Scott.
Stephanie, I am the official bagpiping Buddhist park ranger of Stephanie.
Wow. Hello now.
And, you know, our dear friend who seems to know about science, and it's only a few decades of science. Actually, by decades, he means millions of years. He's actually correct. We use the layers of ice, and we can actually go back and find millions of years in the ice.
Right.
And he needs, pardon?
I said right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so he needs to get caught up with science. Now, the biggest problem politically with it is the areas that are affected are playground areas. It's the beach, and it's mountain zones. It's not affecting where most people live, and so the political will and power isn't there yet until we get redistricting done and we put more Democrats in.
Yep, I hear you. All right, let's go to John.
Sure, if you listen to those liberal academics with their facts.
Okay. John in L.A. Hi, John.
Hey,
hi, John.
Hey, Donald Sterling, first of all, he's living proof of the creationist idea that dinosaurs lived with human beings. But on another thing, he sounds like a whiny biatch saying that he's the victim. Everybody's making him out to be a victim.
Yep.
He says, I never talk about people. I only talk about things and ideas Then he goes on to totally trash Magic Johnson in the most bigoted, racist, ignorant, stupid, moronic way that that guy needs to be put in a box and just left and go away. Just stop giving him airtime.
Yeah, no one wants a Donald in the box.
No.
Okay, Donna in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Donna.
Hi there.
Hello.
I was wondering, if we're going to call Patrick out on being condescending, we should probably go ahead and also call him out on being misogynistic, because I wasn't paying close enough attention to tell which of your books he was attempting to insult.
Oh, that would be me,
by
Chris.
Insinuating that he was female, I'm not certain how being female is exactly an insult.
Right.
Very good point.
Right.
I'm a queer liberal Jewish girl who lives in Indiana, so I'm told it's an insult. But I'm not certain exactly how it is.
Yeah.
Perhaps Patrick could explain to us how being female is clearly less than being male.
Yep. By the way, speaking of which, I wish someone had asked Donald Sterling his thoughts on the Michael Sam kiss.
Oh, God.
I think Travis tweeted about whether some people apparently in the Twitterverse were more offended on the interracial thing than they were on the gay thing.
Yeah.
So nonetheless, it would be magic to know what Donald Sterling thinks about all. Or Clive and Bundy. I bet he's got some thoughts on it.
Sure.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
I get it, because of global warming.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, Rocky Mountain Mike reminds us that Rick from Washington, our climate change denier that just called, they found their audience for the right-wing answer to Cosmos.
Tonight, the cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be.
We are continuing this voyage.
Watch the answer to the so-called scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson and his so-called science program, Cosmos, as the Fox Network airs the special rebuttal. Fire back. Smash rock. Tune in to see alternative and completely science-like answers to questions of the origins of our universe, our species, and life itself. Watch documented proof that human beings and dinosaurs lived at the same time. Actual evidence that the Earth is only 6,000 years old, with first-hand accounts from Larry King.
Mesopotamia, you're on.
Hear both sides of arguments on theories like evolution, global warming, and gravity.
All explained by me, Skeeter.
Fire back. Smash rock. Tonight, only on Fox.
Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Now, listen, given the fact that I would never be condescending to
someone
like Rick, and I did graduate from a liberal college that had an ex-nun as its president who married a Jewish man.
Oh,
dear.
I mean, totally liberal. I mean, terrible. But, you know, I do this thing called research where I look up facts.
Mm-hmm.
Rick mentioned the little Ice Age. I looked at when that was, which was roughly between the 1300s and the 1600s, when the population of the Earth was 425 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And today we have 7 billion people.
Right.
So only a fidiot would deny the fact that the enormous increase in human population is not impacting the Earth's environment and our world.
Yep.
No, of course not. It's just God's will.
Right. Yep. And so, I mean, it drives me crazy because, again, the Earth will survive. The Earth will go through its periods of climate change, and things on Earth will adapt or perish. One of the things that may perish is us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. Thank you, Sue. Let's go to Jason in D.C. Hello. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Steph. How long have you been a vegan for?
Oh, I see. You think you trapped me, right?
No, I'm just asking a question. Because if we're really
I have to be a vegan to believe in climate change?
No, if we're really serious about making a change,
right,
the single biggest source of greenhouse gas is a meat-based diet.
Okay.
We all should be encouraging everyone to get rid of their pets, because a medium-sized dog is equivalent to driving around in an SUV.
So we should eat our pets.
If you're serious about
point.
It, you know, are you the type of person that puts a sweet and low in your coffee, or are you the person that stops eating cheesecake? I mean, what have you done personally to make it the biggest impact possible?
Wait a minute. Like, tie cheesecake and sweet and low in for me with this?
Well, yeah. Because what happens is we're always trying to come up with solutions.
He's talking personally, not collectively. He's a libertarian.
The issue or the elephant in the room.
Uh-huh.
The issue is a meat-based diet.
Should we eat the elephant or not? I'm confused now what your point is.
The meat-based diet creates more greenhouse gas than every form of transportation combined.
Okay.
Every form.
So we shouldn't do anything about other than stop eating meat.
The thing is, if you're going to have carbon taxes, they have to be equally applied to all elements of the economy. So when somebody buys a steak.
Who says?
He does. So basically, industry gets hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Or should it be equal? A carbon tax should be a carbon tax should be a carbon tax.
Mm-hmm.
You can't exempt chicken or beef and somehow...
See, we have better technologies for transportation that are cleaner now. We don't have better technologies for chickens and cows.
So the whole point, though, is...
And so we can do something about transportation right now.
You don't need to eat
We can't engineer a new cow.
As much meat as you do.
I like to eat meat.
Oh, well, you know what? Some people like driving an SUV.
You know what, though? But we have better ways of powering those SUVs, better and cleaner ways of powering those SUVs right now. We can implement that right now. We can't implement new chickens and cows right now.
Do you understand that one-third of the... I mean, you're sitting here and you're arguing about stuff. If you really want to talk about environmental damage, a meat-based diet does more.
Yeah, he didn't. Okay, yeah. You glossed right over exactly what I said. That's what libertarians and people on the right do.
Our douche lines are wide open this morning.
You're not going to get everyone to be a vegan. Sorry, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, we're in the reality-based community here. Libertarians like to live on paper.
By the way, you're always going to win people over with that tone. When did you become a vegan?
Yeah, and when did you become a vegan if you're so concerned
you
about the environment?
You need to get rid of your pets.
You need to eat your pets.
Listen, my contribution to the environment is that I am a loser that goes nowhere practically, right?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Used to be you couldn't say crap. Then they let that slide, and now we can say whatever we want. Douchebag, asswipe.
Anal rot.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Why, Tuesday. You know what that means, everybody. It's one of our favorite days.
There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Can I tell you guys how cool it is, I think, that the Stephanie Miller Show has turned into sports talk radio?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm not kidding. Within 6 months, Stephanie's going to be talking about 3-4 schemes and 2-gap defenses.
That's right.
And cover twos.
Yep. That's right, my friend.
We only learned what a combine was yesterday.
I was listening.
Eat my sports gravel soup.
What do you mean?
Charlie
Isn't
Pierce.
It a machine that cuts down grain? What the
what?
Fuck?
Don't you need a thresher? What?
No, it's been great. I expect you guys to do like a live thing from St. Louis Rams training camp.
Because obviously I wasn't the only one speculating. Did homophobia play a part in how low Michael Sam was drafted? What do you think?
A part, but I think players slide every year, and I think a lot of it. May have been. Now this may be a subset of homophobia or part of the Venn diagram. A lot of teams didn't want the attention.
Yeah.
I can see that.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
I mean, you can argue about what is the source for that.
I think
20-30% of it was pure homophobia. The rest of it was, you know, corporate chicken do and, you know, the fact that players slide.
Right. Well, were you impressed with my football knowledge based on my years at USC with Charlie White and Marcus Allen?
Yeah, I was going to say, summoning up Charlie White, that was so cool.
Right. See? Okay.
Cool. And whatever you was thinking about the horse, right? Let out the horse.
The horse, the horse. Charlie White. Those are our freshman year chants.
And then you play that stupid eight bars every 5 minutes through an entire game. Between plays.
Okay.
And you dated a football player.
I did.
What, would we know the name?
Mike.
Oh, no. Well, hell, there's not many football players named that.
Not many Aloysiuses, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie, interesting, because we were saying in the Twitterverse, there also was a reaction to it being an interracial kiss. Michael Sam, not just that it was a gay kiss.
Oh, was there really?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I stay out of those precincts of the Twitterverse.
Anyway, but I thought, I mean, it actually was a great moment, I think, not just sports history, but in America.
I think it was too. And I think that, you know, Jeff Fisher, who's the coach of the Rams, who I know and really like, I think has handled it splendidly so far. Training camp's going to be a media circus, and I'm very sure Michael Sam knows that. I did like Jason Collins' reaction though; that was pretty cool.
What did he say?
They asked him about the impact of Michael Sam kissing his boyfriend, and Jason Collins said, "We're gay. We have boyfriends. Deal with it."
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, did you? I mean, you heard Stephen Smith, the ESPN analyst, was just
that would be Stephen A. Smith,
right?
Actually, that would be.
Right. What does the A stand for? But he was saying, I'd say the same thing to straight couples. You know, get a room. We shouldn't have to have that in our face.
Oh,
it's funny.
God.
I don't ever hear that about straight kisses.
No,
I don't know
not
why.
At all.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes you do, but, you know, usually very late at night outside a bar.
Yeah, exactly. If someone is trying to swallow the other person, yeah, that might be a bit much. But a kiss on the lips, like Michael Sam gave his boyfriend, that's not inappropriate in the least.
I find impromptu tonsillectomies offensive myself.
Yes, I do too. That's a bit much.
Speaking
of... I'm still trying to get my mind around Stephanie dating a football player.
I know. I mean, let's just listen. Let's move on. Now.
No, let's not. Did you go to, like, football frat parties and stuff?
See, there was something about them playing the song Conquest that just made me, you know what I'm saying, just, wow. Charlie Pierce, that being
all
said...
All ball is divided into three parts.
That being said, how do you think Michael Sam's going to do football-wise?
I mean, I don't know enough about what the Rams do on defense to tell you. I mean, I honestly to God, I thought that the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick might take a chance on him. Number one, because Belichick is completely impervious to media circuses. He just doesn't acknowledge their existences.
Yeah. Huh.
And second of all, he's very similar to – he's very much the kind of player that Belichick likes to have for versatility's sake in that he can play a couple of different positions. Very similar to a great New England Patriot linebacker named Teddy Bruschi, who came out of Arizona with pretty much the same physical credentials and questions about his size that Michael Sam has. So I honestly thought he might wind up here. But I know Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher is a really decent guy. He couldn't have asked for, you know, he couldn't have asked for a better head coach for his rookie year. And he doesn't have to go very far.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like he's being shipped off to Oakland or someplace.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. By the way, your thoughts on the aides or those aides, as Donald Sterling used the term to refer to Magic Johnson? Did you hear this latest thing?
Yes, I know.
God.
It's time for him to get on the next train to Shut Up Town because he's not doing anybody any good.
Yeah.
And then Shelley Sterling said, I'm not selling my half of the team. No way, no how.
Well, see, that's the interesting thing because I'm not entirely sure the NBA can make her do that.
I think they can. At least when I read in the LA Times yesterday, Charlie, they're saying that they can.
Well, they have a bylaw against what Sterling did, but I'm not entirely sure they're precise in the punishment. I mean, they could suspend him, but I'm not entirely sure they can get the team away from his family.
Hmm.
And if they try, I guarantee you the lawsuit will stretch on for years.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God, last thing we need. All right, by the way, I don't know if you heard the climatologist that called into the show earlier, Rick in Washington. But you were mentioning...
Rick? Oh, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you.
He was a listener. He wasn't an actual climatologist.
He was a right wing whack.
Yeah.
And as you write, I'm no climatologist like Rush Limbaugh, but this sounds bad. The rise in the global sea level of at least 10 feet may now be inevitable. That is, you know, you say don't worry though. President Marco Rubio is going to stand on the beach in Tierra del Fuego and tell Antarctica he doesn't believe in it.
Have all the water he needs and more.
Yeah.
Wait. I mean. is there anything that guy can do where he doesn't step on a rake? I mean, it's unbelievable.
He grew up in a rake factory.
Yeah, I mean, but this is...
I'm ready to be president. How do you know I'm ready to be president? I don't think humans cause climate change. Oh, okay, fine.
By the way, I loved your... we talked about the Ann Coulter Twitter thing, Bring Back Our Country, and yes. Your headline's just a completely worthless human being makes a funny. Or at least what she thought was, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I've just been going through the web today. Apparently, the Twitterverse really
yes.
sort of had a lot of
yeah.
fun with that.
Yes.
I like the one that was hashtag Bring Back My Soul.
On to the happy clappy news, Charlie. You know I like my news happy and clappy.
I know you do.
And you wrote about the same thing we talked about earlier, the NBC poll. But, you know, suddenly a sliver of light for Democrats. In Arkansas, right, with less than 6 months till Election Day, Mark Pryor leads Republican challenger Tom Cotton by 11, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize this until somebody, one of my commenters actually mentioned it, so I updated the post yesterday. Tom Cotton voted against the farm bill.
Right.
And, did so at the behest of the people who finance his campaigns, who are not farmers from Arkansas or the people who do business with them.
Right.
And that is and the reason he did it, of course, was because it didn't cut food stamps enough. So this
right.
guy's a real sweetheart.
As you said, it doesn't starve poor people sufficiently.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a good piece of news. Now, it's also May. So,
right.
I mean, who knows how much money's going to come pouring in there over the next 6 months. But I mean, this guy was the best of them. Okay, this guy was a shiny Tea Party hope who was also connected to the Republican establishment.
Yep.
If he can't do it, that's a big problem. For
and
them.
More importantly, Charlie, you're right. He's beating the Benghazi tin drum very loudly. He seems to be getting no traction at all. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's maybe people are finally seeing this for the desperation it is on the Republicans' part.
Well, I don't think they're going to get any political advantage with that in these midterms. They may ding up Hillary Clinton a little bit for 2016, but I don't think they're going to gain any political advantage in 2014 over this. I mean, the hearings are going to be hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and the other two races you mentioned that are important in Georgia, Michelle Nunn running neck and neck with all of her potential GOP opponents, and of course in Kentucky, Alison Lundgren Grimes pretty much tied with Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, well, of course, the Georgia Republican primary is the equivalent of the Monty Python Upper Class Twitter of the Year contest. I mean, they're all standing there trying to jump over the matchbooks.
Yeah, yeah. But the important thing you say in any case, maybe it's time for even MSNBC to stop talking so loudly about rough midterm climate it is for Democrats. As you say, maybe it's just run-of-the-mill midterm climate for the incumbent's party and the incumbent's second term. And again, turnout, right?
Yeah, I mean that's certainly the thing. I mean, midterm elections for second-term presidents do not turn out well.
Right.
If there's a gigantic issue like there was in 2006, they turn out really, really badly. It's entirely possible this will just turn out to be a very banal midterm election.
Right, right. Well,
because if they can't win with Tom Cotton in Arkansas, they got a problem because Mark Pryor was incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, they Mary Landrieu has the best of all possible worlds right now because the Senate Republicans screwed up on that energy vote, so they're not going to get their vote on the Keystone Pipeline, so she can oppose it without ever having to take a vote on it.
Yeah, yeah. How about Clay Aiken in North Carolina?
I feel so bad for that,
yikes.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, you know, poor guy falls down and dies. And now we, you know, hey, we have already lived through Congressman Sonny Bono and
yeah.
Congressman Cooter, who, you know,
yeah.
and Congressman Gopher from the Love Boat.
Yep.
I think we can survive Congressman Clay Aiken.
Yeah, no,
I'll bet he wishes he thought of this strategy, though, when he was on American Idol. Could push Ruben Studdard down the stairs.
Easily. No, but we had Clay Aiken on, and he was great.
Yeah, he is
impressed
great.
The hell
I mean,
out of me.
He really does know his stuff, and he's extraordinarily personable.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think I still think he got cheated. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Charlie, great stuff this week, as always.
Well, listen, you old football moll. Have a good
yep.
weekend.
Thank you. have a good combine. See
bye
ya.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. We will never speak of this again. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Kids, thanks for all the great comments on Sexy Liberal Facebook, Sexy Liberal Twitter. We're up. The pictures are up at Sexy Liberal
yep.
And Stephanie Miller Facebook.
Yep, just posted more this morning.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yes.
Good. From the Albuquerque Sexy Liberal,
that's
which
right.
was fantastic. And coming up next,
Minneapolis, You've been extra Minnesota nice lately, and you deserve a treat.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the State Theater on June 7th.
So it'll be quite a coincidence if they weren't, you know, connected.
Join John Fugelsang.
From his footprint, he looks like a big fella.
Carlos Alazraki.
Oh, he's a little guy, kind of funny looking.
And St. Pauli girl Stephanie Miller, as they bring triple the comedy to the Twin Cities.
Barbarians need to be disciplined.
Yeah, you got that right.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or the State Theater box office. Don't miss this evening of laughs with your sexy liberal family.
Where is everybody?
That's Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at Minneapolis's State Theater on June 7th.
I am absolutely delighted to welcome you to the land of Minnesota Nice.
End of story.
Yeah, end of story. So 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
What?
Nothing. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Somebody tweeted yesterday, Free Speech TV can't be DVR'd. I used to watch whenever I woke up and had time. Now I can't watch it all. You can DVR it, people. Yeah. You can.
If you're watching on DirecTV and Dish.
Right.
If you're watching on DirecTV and Dish Network on your TV, you can DVR it if your cable box has a DVR.
That's right. Roku.
But if you're watching on a Roku, Rokus aren't DVR-able.
Right.
That's a different technology.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But you can. And this has been another edition of Tech Talk.
Or you could get the video cast.
The video cast? Like, what a good idea. If you were a fine American, and that has all the... No, it's commercial free.
Commercial free.
You can get it at StephanieMiller.com, and it takes out all the extraneous matter, like...
Me.
Chris. Okay. Let's go to Tim in Wisconsin. Hi, Tim. Welcome.
Hey, do you guys understand why cows fart so much?
Why is that? They're vegan.
Because they're vegans.
Yes, exactly.
If we were all vegans, we would be the biggest source of methane.
Exactly.
And I don't want to do a transcontinental flight after that.
Yeah.
I thought I was the only one on flights. Okay,
yeah,
thank you for that.
There ain't no way you're ever going to get me to become vegan.
Yeah, I didn't think so. John in Washington, you're on the. You seem like you eat like the size of a couch of protein every day.
I eat a lot of protein.
Yes. Uh-huh. John in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hello, Stephanie Miller.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Go ahead. Hello. Yes. Hello.
Hi.
There we go. Okay. Hey, I was just wondering why we as Democrats, why don't we propose the a compromise for the Republicans if they want to keep banging this Benghazi drum? You know what, if you guys don't find anything, why don't we drop your salaries?
Ha! Huh, okay,
that's
for
an
wasting
idea.
For wasting more mm-hmm. time. Okay, yeah. Thank you for calling on your Sports Illustrated sneaker phone. We appreciate it. Okay.
We're paying their salary, so.
You know what? He must have had a bad combine.
We're the
that's
boss.
Why he could only afford that phone.
Okay. Oh, my God. Well, Kenny Pick?
Yes.
On Twitter did one of those Ann Coulter pictures with a hashtag?
Yes.
Hashtag too bitey.
She's too bitey. Leave her. Mike in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I'm a first-time caller. And I love the things you guys did yesterday with Goofy and all that. But the reason why I'm calling...
Oh, you're referring to Trey Gowdy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the reason why I was calling was the MSNBC comment you just made. I'm like, I'm glad somebody else noticed it besides me, man. These are the same guys that said Mitt Romney was going to win by a landslide.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. And it Obama would never beat Hillary. And
please Obama. Proceed, Governor.
Yeah, exactly. And he did. And
see.
Oh. All right. So we were talking to Charlie Pierce about Michael Sam, mm-hmm. among other sports-related things.
Combines and stuff.
He's very impressed with my sports knowledge. Okay. Michael Sam, ready to play? He said, I've been preparing for this moment for a very long time. I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm so determined to be great. I really hope that he is. He said, since my big announcement, there's been a whole speculation about the first openly gay player, but you know what? It's not about that. It's about playing football. Can Michael Sam play football? Yes, I can. And the St. Louis Rams, no, I can't. I'm going to get everything I've got to the St. Louis Rams to help them win a championship. He said, are there going to be idiots out there who say stupid stuff? I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the guy next to me, the guy in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more importantly, the guy in front of me.
Right.
Okay, see, stupid things like that. People are going to say stupid things like that.
What bugs me about football is where the commentator is always referring to the football. Down the football, down the football field,
football,
the football game,
football.
Get the football, football, football. Yeah, we know what game it is. Thanks. You don't need to say it every 3 seconds.
I got it. We're watching football.
Throw that football down the football field, the football upright, just football, 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 football.
Here is Stephen A. Smith, ESPN analyst. You decide what the A stands for.
I do think it needs to be said a couple of things. Number one, I didn't see, and I still haven't seen, you know, people were elaborating with the cake on the face and all of this other stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
If I saw all of that based on what was described to me, because, again, I haven't seen it, I would say the same thing that I would say to a heterosexual couple. Get a room. I've implored in the past for the gay community to understand and accept what I'm about to say again. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to like you and like what you see. And as a result of that, people should have the freedom to not want to be associated with that or not want that in their face.
So you're giving up sports.
Yeah. First of all, that's bull.
Yeah.
When have you heard people say that about a straight kiss? Like, I don't want that in my face.
A straight kiss of that magnitude. Now, if there's, you know,
right,
swallowing each other, shoving.
Well, everybody was grossed out by the Michael Jackson, Lisa Marie Presley.
Yeah.
Just in its inauthenticity and its tonsillectomy, kind of.
And the Al Gore, Tipper Gore thing.
Okay, well, that was a little...
It was like two plungers going at each other.
Okay, Eric Bolling on the five.
So, the question is, I hope he was drafted because of his ability, not because of anything else that's going on. I'm not sure. Some people are saying he was pushed down.
Bob, some say.
He was pushed down in the draft because of his being the first openly gay NFL player, and the teams didn't want the distraction. I would say he was drafted because he's the first openly gay. Hold on, let me.
Right.
I don't think he would have been drafted had
what?
He not been. I don't think he would have, Bob. Yeah. He had a terrible combine. His his scores in the combine didn't earn him that draft pick.
Right.
Right. Just how, like, they said on Fox, some people on Fox News said that President Obama was only elected because he's black.
Black.
Because it's historically been such an advantage in America.
Right.
Look how many times it's happened before.
Sure. Right. That's why Alan West is president.
Right. Right. Oh, by the way, someone was talking about...
Who are the other ones?
They brought up Tim Tebow yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know... Oh,
he was
Christians,
bashed because he was Christian.
Yeah, well, he's still in the NFL, and he sucks. He sucks!
And I don't remember a whole lot of bashing because he was Christian.
Right, exactly.
I remember bashing because he kind of sucked.
And also, did I mention that he sucks?
Yeah. I just didn't throw the football down, football, fade to the football, go post, football, football, football.
Okay, thanks. Ken in Pennsylvania. Hi, Ken. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi, Stephanie. I guess we can call St. Louis the gay way to the west now. Hey,
Why is St. Louis? Oh, I see. Because they drafted my odds. Funny. Oh my goodness. Okay. Wow. That was worth waiting for. We should have more time. Okay. Whew. Sorry, we ran out of time for that. It's okay. All right, activist Melissa Fitzgerald, Hot Bree in the City, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah. That
it just got considerably hotter in here.
Yes, it did. That dopey smile on Jim's face can only mean one thing. Oh, yeah.
Hot Bree on West Deppie. She's filled with squeezing. Concession. Hot Bree on West Deppie. Hot Bree on West Deppie.
Activist Melissa Fitzgerald live in studio.
Yay!
I'm so happy to be here. Do you ever see that dopey look on Jim's face? Everybody, he looks like Trey Gowdy.
Which way do I go?
He looks like Trey Gowdy.
Oh, my God. Oh,
gosh.
Go.
The pretty girls here.
Yep.
And guess what else? It's almost like you got a present on Melissa Fitzgerald's birthday. It's her birthday today, everybody.
Happy birthday.
Oh, good. Thank All right. you. That's right. And there's something you can do for Melissa Fitzgerald on her birthday. What would that be, Melissa Fitzgerald?
Oh, if you could go to justiceforvets.org and slash benefit. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the L.A. area or Anaheim, buy a ticket to the Justice for Vets benefit concert with the American Vinyl All-Star Band on May 29th. And if you're not in the L.A. area, just go to justiceforvets.org and donate whatever you can, because we got a mission.
She's hot Brie in the city to you, to many fine Americans. She is senior director of Justice for Vets, Jim. Mm. A little respect on your face, please.
Very different music for the hot Brie versus the senior director.
That's right. He is. Jim is an awesome harmonica player, singer, so you would actually love this concert. There's guys from the Doobie Brothers, from formerly of Boston, right? This is some major...
Steely Dan.
Right?
Wow. I mean, Skunk Baxter, and it's the American All-Star Vinyl Band, and American Vinyl All-Star Band.
Right.
And they have donated their services to benefit veterans, and they're an incredible group of musicians. I mean, they have more Grammys and hit records between them. They could fill up this whole studio.
It's a benefit concert. It is Thursday, May 29th at the Anaheim Convention Center, if you're out here in California. Even if you're not, I would come in for it.
It's right across the street from Disneyland, for crying out loud. So go to Disneyland, go to the concert.
And I'll be there. I will be, like, on mic, on stage. And you know who else is hosting?
Jim. Denise Richards
is hosting.
Well,
right?
She had a certain scene in that movie with Nev Campbell that I think you would really enjoy.
Think he'd enjoy that?
Yes. All right.
Well, she won't be doing that on stage.
No.
I didn't see it, but I'm assuming that it's not something
not
that would be appropriate for our Justice for Vets benefit concert.
And I didn't realize the Disneyland thing. Griswold's talking to you. Pack the kids. Let's head out to Anaheim. Let's go.
But
Edna on the roof.
Put your dead aunt on the roof, or your dead congressional candidate, and let's go. Proceeds from the show will benefit Justice for Vets. Explain to us again, for people that don't remember, what Justice for Vets does.
Well, we're the only national nonprofit organization that's dedicated to the expansion of veterans treatment courts, and to make sure, like, so far we have connected thousands of veterans with the benefits they've earned and the benefits that they need. And we train existing veterans treatment courts around the country. Like, we've trained already, of the 131, we've trained 90 of them. We've got 30 more on our list this year. We advocate on Capitol Hill for more funding for veterans treatment courts. And veterans treatment courts, because I think that's probably important if you don't know, are an alternative to incarceration for struggling veterans who come home with a mental health disorder or an addiction issue and a substance abuse issue. And what we do through strict accountability through the court system is connect the veterans with the treatment that they've earned, the treatment they deserve, the treatment that they need so they can go home and be healthy citizens. And we need them to be. And, you know, most veterans are doing incredibly well. There are far too many, however, who are struggling.
Right.
And we need to be there for them.
The more important thing is, this is why I'm an excellent interviewer, because I did know, but I just pretended that whole time like I didn't so that you could explain it.
Uh-huh. I'm an excellent interviewer.
You are excellent.
Definitely.
You are
excellent.
Good at your job. Thank you.
I'm a helper. I have. You know what? I had to train to come by this clueless face. Really?
Really?
Tell us what it is. Was that your acting training?
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
Can I add one more fun fact?
Yes.
Sure.
Well, one more fun fact is that veterans treatment courts are incredibly successful. They're based on the drug court model, which is the most successful criminal justice model in the history of our country. And veterans treatment courts reduce crime. They save the taxpayer a ton of money. And then, plus, we're doing right by our veterans who stood up and
said...
This
is really... I mean, it really is a bipartisan issue in that
Totally.
Sense. I mean, I was reading some of these statistics. Wars have caused mental and emotional health problems in 31% of vets. That's more than 800,000 of them. I was saying, I don't even know where it was in one of the Sunday papers, I think. I was reading a really compelling story about a guy with PTSD and what it actually feels like and is like, the impact on a family.
Yeah.
I'm looking in here. More than 8,500 veterans committed suicide last year. That's approximately 22 a day.
Yeah.
More than the total number of soldiers killed in Afghanistan and Iraq combined since those wars began. There are over 700,000 veterans currently caught up in the criminal justice system.
And that's a low number. When you think about our heroes who signed up to protect us being behind bars when they don't have to be. when they can be home being healthy citizens and leaders in our communities. And we need them.
Right.
Because these are men and women who are all about service. And we need people who are about service in our communities. And we need them to be fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and husbands and wives and community members.
And you know this because your daddy is a judge.
Yeah, who's a big proponent of treatment courts. And you know why?
Because they work.
Because they work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My daddy was a cop back in the bad old days. No, he wasn't. Anyway,
I know he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
But my dad has been in criminal justice for over 50 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you ask him what are some of it's the most innovative solution to these issues, to crime reduction, to cost savings. I mean, this is the solution. It's the answer. And you know, what's that expression? When you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
When we know better, we got to keep doing better.
But I remember you saying that he said, Melissa, anyone that knows anything about these courts is for them.
That's right.
Again, not across partisan lines.
Yeah,
across,
my dad's a Republican.
Yeah. Listen. Oh, by the way.
And I'm a Democrat.
This is how cute Melissa Fitzgerald's family is. I just got an email from your mom. Dear Stephanie, we're looking forward to listening to your show in a few minutes. I thought you'd like to know today is Melissa's birthday. Carol, thank you, Carol. It is Melissa's birthday. And that's why you need to go to Justice for Vets right now and give a present in Melissa's name, even if you can't make it to the concert, right?
Yeah, buy a ticket. Come for my birthday. It's
by the way, I picture that your parents are probably already listening to 50 Cent at home.
Oh, they owe every night. Carol King and then 50 Cent. There.
He's now 75 cent inflation. You
know. Exactly. But apparently he knows what went on in that elevator with Solange.
Well, oh, my God.
Oh, really?
So Beyonce's... Okay, just stop for a minute.
I know. I saw this on my AOL homepage.
So Beyonce's sister attacked Jay-Z. Your parents will probably tell you this later. They would say, no Melissa, question. In other hip-hop news, forget about the Justice for Vets thing for a minute. Yeah, we don't know why.
We don't know why, but she's wailing on Jay-Z. And Beyonce's just standing off in the corner...
I'm not watching I don't know what this is about.
Well, probably best not to get involved in that.
Right.
Just escalate it even more.
Yes.
Good move, Beyonce. Good move.
But now the Standard Hotel in New York is furious because their security video was released to the public.
Right, when there's tips for where you can go, where the hotels that will not release your security elevator video.
Seriously?
Which is good news for me on the Sexy Liberal Tour, because, whoa, you want to know some stuff that just happened with Gemini in an elevator or two.
But during the break, I saw that 50 Cent apparently knows what went on in that elevator. And so I didn't click through the story yet because I didn't have time, but I'll update you.
There Beyonce doesn't want to get involved because she wants to protect her marriage. Why? She doesn't want to be one of the single ladies. Who does?
I'm pretty sure there's no elevator in the Chicago Theater. I was running up and down the stairs.
Yikes. Thank God for us. Jim only goes to hotels that don't have cameras in the elevator. All right. So, anyway, back to important business now on behalf of America. So, anyway, the concert sounds great, but the cause is even better because this is why you wanted to do this.
Yeah, it's you know, and the concert, can I just also add, because the musicians have donated their services and we have some incredibly generous sponsors, all 100% of the ticket that you buy, 100% of the money goes directly to Justice for Vets, 100%.
Wow.
And, you know, we have a mission at Justice for Vets to put a veterans treatment court within reach of every veteran in need. And no money, no mission.
Well, you know,
please sign up and donate for my birthday.
This she's going to work that.
I am.
Let me just tell you what.
It's my birthday.
Did we mention that it's her birthday?
It's her birthday.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Because we've talked a lot about the Affordable Care Act with Jackie and others about that. You know, you're kind of SOL if you're in the states where the governors did not, you know, either do the exchange or expand Medicaid. But this is the same thing. Look, all these veterans served, no matter what state they're in. But like you're saying, there's a lot of places that it's out of reach for them if there isn't a veterans court there.
Well, veterans courts, you know, what's really wonderful is that there is a VA representative in the courtroom that assists in connecting the veterans to the treatment that they need. So if they need treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder, if they need treatment for addiction, it's just accessible. We're connecting that to them, streamlining it. And then there's an added component where there are volunteer veteran mentors from the community who volunteer in the courtroom to be mentors to their brothers and sisters who are struggling and who are in the program and help them navigate all that.
But the important point is that anybody that serves should not be in a state where they're just SOL and not be able to get this kind of help. Right?
We want to have a veterans treatment court within reach of every veteran in need so that every veteran can get the services that they need.
Yep.
We don't want to have our heroes behind bars when they don't have to be.
Right. Yeah.
When they don't have to be, it's not right. This is America.
You know, addiction should be a medical issue, not a crime.
When I read this story about this one veteran with PTSD, and I read what his time was like, and getting blown up, and watching his guts fall out, and then he's, when you hear these stories all the time, and when I read this statistic that the wars have caused mental and emotional health problems in 31% of vets, I'm surprised it's not 100. How does it not cause mental and emotional health problems in any human being? Yeah. I mean, it's horrific what they go through.
And these are men and women who signed up to protect us. And when I think about that, I feel that we need to, as a nation, do everything that we can to be there to support them and say that when you come home to reintegrate and really return home, you're not going to have to do it alone. We will walk with you.
Yep, absolutely. You're going to stay with us because, you're working for a great cause. You're Ivy League smart, but also you're kind of a little bit of eye candy. And Jim... Jim just put that fan there so that you could reenact your supermodel years.
That's right.
You bet I'll work.
Yeah. There's a giant fan blowing on Melissa Fitzgerald.
There is.
Oh, if only they were supermodel years.
She walked a runway or two. All right.
Hey, you weren't Sears catalog, so there's that.
I'm a model, you know what I mean.
Yes, you are. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hot Brie in the City on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace, she's a winner. She's a lady, and the lady is
Stephanie Miller.
She's a lady.
Twenty-four minutes after the hour. Why, that is an excellent way to say happy birthday, Melissa Fitzgerald. Say happy 30th birthday, Melissa Fitzgerald. And then send it a donation to Justice for Vets.
Yes.
All right.
That would be my birthday wish is that. Honestly, my birthday wish is that everybody who's listening go on, even if it's like a dollar, just donate something because no money, no mission.
Right. There you go.
And I got a mission.
Yeah, she's Senior Director of Justice for Vets, everybody. Let's look live. All right. And there's a link up. There's a benefit concert that is not only an awesome concert, but for an awesome cause, Justice for Vets. It is May 29th at the Anaheim Convention Center.
And it is going to be an amazing concert. So it's the American Vinyl All-Star Band. And as I said, more Grammys and hit records between them than you could fill in this room.
And Chris played the Disneyland card.
Right there.
Anaheim Convention Center is right across the street from Disneyland.
Yep.
Go to Disneyland and during the day and go see the show at night.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You can walk there from Disneyland.
We have a big name on the line.
Who?
Shannon, who is
your
good friend and roommate here in Los Angeles.
Yes, when she's here. She's mostly in New York and we miss her.
She's in the witness protection program. Good morning, Shannon.
Hi there. Hello.
Shannon.
Happy birthday, roomie. Happy
birthday. Thank you, Shannon.
And I'm really calling about the concert, though, because I want everyone to buy a ticket. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy 10 tickets. And I'll give them to Stephanie's listeners or your friends or anybody. So I'm starting the ball rolling here.
Wow, right? Shannon, that's so sweet. Thank you.
You are awesome.
Yeah, so
that is so sweet.
I'm buying the 10 tickets. And I don't know if you want to give them to listeners, Stephanie?
Sure.
Or whoever, you know what I mean? Yeah.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. 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 Listen, you just call pony up the cash, and we'll figure out.
Shannon, thank you. That's so sweet.
Aw, you are
it's also exciting for me because I always wanted. I didn't know how to get involved, and this is a perfect way to get involved, right?
I've told Melissa this before. I love how her friends love her, and I love how she loves her friends. You have to tell the story because I just saw you. And by the way, we are very, very sorry. Your mom recently passed away, but the way you guys are friends is kind of hilarious. Tell the story.
Oh, about the party for your mom and the cake?
Oh, yeah. We had a great party for my mom who just passed away, and it was a celebration. It was amazing.
It was one. Right. It was
we
at
danced,
Alice.
We sang. We had a good time, right?
Some people really danced
it
up. And we had it at our friend's house, at Allison's house. And
Allison Janney, for those of you who keep track.
The cake, Shannon. Should we tell what the cake said?
Sure. I thought it was hilarious. I mean, it just said, sorry your mom died, with a big happy face, which I thought was awesome.
Yes. Right. Shannon actually said, yes, I would like that, because you wanted to be a celebration of your mom's life and not a sad thing. And Melissa had to have the manager come out, because, like, are you sure you want to write this on a cake with a happy face?
And he's like, because I just really had to check it with my manager. You really wanted to say, sorry your mom died, with a smiley face. I'm like, yes, absolutely. And then there was a long pause. And he said, I've been waiting my entire life to do a cake like this.
Aww. You made someone else's dream come true.
It was actually very sweet, and everybody from the bakery part, came out when I picked it up.
Yeah. Shannon, now I can see why your friends love you so much and gave you a big party, because you do stuff like this. She just bought 10 tickets.
Oh, Shannon's the best.
Guys. Well, I just want to support her. I just think what Melissa's taking on is amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and so to support in this way, this is just a tiny way to support, too. I mean, you know, what she's doing every day, all day long, is incredible.
Awesome.
Incredible.
Thank you,
Shannon. I don't know how you do it, kid.
Well, thank you, Shannon. I do it with a lot of support from my friends like you, honestly. I couldn't do it without the support of my friends like you, so thank you.
That's all right. Well, happy birthday. I wish I was there to give you big hugs.
Me, too.
And, of course, it could throw back a cocktail. But.
All right, Shannon. Thanks, honey. Appreciate the call.
All right.
There she goes. It's weird to have people that you know call your talk radio show. Like, thank you, caller. All right, that was very sweet. All right,
and the best.
And don't forget, go to just the links up at Stephanie Miller Show Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook and Stephanie Miller Show, StephanieMiller.com.
It's the easy way to click on the link. You can get tickets to the concert or just go to give to Justice for Vets.
Yeah, there's a big donate button on the concert page, too. Right. So, and again, every single penny of your ticket price goes directly to Justice for Vets, thanks to our sponsors.
All right. We love you, Melissa Fitzgerald. Happy
Thank
birthday.
I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bob Seska coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have turned a lot of gay dudes straight, although that could just be a line that guys use on me because they know how much I love a challenge.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, no. Melissa missed a fan call. Tracy in Roswell. Your husband's a vet?
Yes, ma'am. He is.
Aw. And you just wanted to... Well, you know, this is why this cause is so important, right?
Well, he's a Vietnam vet. Mm. So, right? To me... Melissa, happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, she had to go, but we will pass it along. But go click on the link on StephanieMiller.com, and you can give to Justice for Vets. All right. Wow. Speaking of awesome, he tops himself every week. This one about George Will. Bob Seska of the Daily Banter joins us. Mahalo, Bob Seska.
Aloha. I'm totally having a West Wing contact high right now.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, I have that show. I have all of the episodes on DVD, but thanks to Netflix, I end up watching it on endless loop. Like,
yeah.
I'll even fall asleep and wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to that, do you want to watch more episodes?
Oh, right. Don't you think Netflix is kind of judgy? Stephanie, are you still watching?
Are you sure? Are you insane?
Really?
Why are you still watching this?
Yeah, right. Do you have any friends? What's the deal? It's hilarious. I've been out with her, and like, there's like young kids that go nuts, and you're like, what? And you're like, oh, because it's on. They're rediscovering it now. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and what makes it even worse is Melissa has not aged a day.
Right,
she
right.
She looks like she just stepped out of that show.
Yeah.
Right. I had a teenage kid at the supermarket once, and I think he went through like a teenage voice crack, right? Like again, it's like,
My palms are still sweating a little bit.
I'm like, welcome to
Tel Aviv.
All right. Bob Seska, we talked about this ridiculous, well, first of all, like Ann Coulter mocking the hashtag bring back our girls because Michelle Obama, you know, among others, participated in it. But you did a piece about how George Will also mocked it. And you just think, what has happened to our politics? This really should be about these poor Nigerian girls, right?
Yeah, well, this one has to do with Twitter, which is for all the, you know, the young kids, the little boys these days are all on the Twitter, and George Will has to make fun of it, so because that's his job now, and especially now that he's on Fox News Sunday.
Well, you said you always chuckle a little when people tell you that he's one of the smart, reasonable conservatives, because you went back to some of I'd forgotten this. He suggested President Obama only won in 2012 because whites didn't want to fire the black guy. That was one of his hits even pre-Fox, right?
Oh yeah, totally. And his climate crisis denial is insane. I mean, he delivered such a huge chunk of fabricated nonsense a few years back. And even though, you know, numerous other publications and media outlets debunked what he was writing about and said he was just making stuff up, he completely stood by it. He would not back down. And it was utter nonsense.
Yeah. What you? By the way, you said now that he's a panelist on Fox News Sunday, his irascible post-bow tie baggery has been cranked up to 11. Because as you were saying, like now he doesn't have anybody reasonable to counter the ridiculous things he says, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's an open book now. He can just completely go nuts on Fox News Sunday because he doesn't even need to have the pretense of being reasonable now. I mean, he can just let fly. Not unlike Pat Buchanan. I mean, Pat Buchanan went from MSNBC, believe it or not, to Fox News, and now he can just get really, really intimate with his inner crank and just, and go nuts. And that's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
I think the blacks should thank us for the free boat ride from Africa.
Okay,
that's almost perfect.
For people that think Jim is kidding, he's not.
Not. That's, he said
he wrote
that.
An editorial saying they should thank us for the trip to the greatest
in
country
the morning,
in the world.
In the
trip
evening.
as if it's a Caribbean
Ain't
cruise.
We got fun? Not really, no.
By the way, you say George Will is not even dyeing his actual hair to match the hairpiece he likely purchased while on a drunken toupee binge with Sam Donaldson back in 1978.
Yeah, I noticed these details. It was quite clear that he's got that thing just like, he doesn't even bother trying to match the color now. He's just got that thing. He just tosses it on like a baseball hat in the morning. And it looks like it never changes. It looks like it's the same one he's been wearing since the 70s. He just went and picked it up and he said, well, yeah, it's pretty good. Just look in the mirror. It's good enough.
It's better
close
than
enough.
Rand Paul's.
Close
so.
Enough. Right. But so anyway, but you write, so when he callously insulted the bring our girls back hashtag campaign, it came as no surprise. This is what George Will does now, right? Because he's on Fox. But so Chris Wallace, you say, introduced several Twitter photos, including one of Michelle Obama. But this is part of this thing that they will do anything to attack the Obamas, right? Like, just forget the poor Nigerian girls at this point. Right?
Yeah, well, that's what it's really all about. I mean, it's really all about, well, Michelle Obama did it, and therefore it must be suspect. So now we have to attack it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of hashtag activism that's a lot of sort of ego masturbation.
Right.
But this is definitely not one of those cases. This is something that is actually, you know, turned into positive action on the behalf of you know, especially awareness of what's going on in Africa, but also in terms of activating governments to
right.
do something about
it. Well, that. As you say, from the U.S., China, France, the U.K., I mean, he's just so smug what he said. You know, he said, he said, it's an exercise in self-esteem. This is not intended to have any effect in the real world. It's a little bit like environmentalism has become. The incandescent light bulb becomes the enemy. It has no effect whatsoever on the planet, but it makes people feel good about themselves. I mean, it's just so smug and dismissive of these girls that are in a really horrible situation. I mean, it just reduces everything go ahead.
Well, it's worse than that. It's uninformed.
Yeah.
I mean, all he needs to do is actually open a newspaper, and he would know exactly what this hashtag has actually accomplished. And but he doesn't want to mention that. I mean, I'm sure he knows. I mean, you know, it's difficult to miss. But he doesn't want to actually admit that something that he's completely ignorant about which is, you know, the use of new media and Twitter and social media, is actually having some sort of positive impact. And he doesn't want to have anything to do with that. He really believes that his, you know, his 5 minutes of, you know, delivering these nuggets of nonsense every Sunday morning is actually more effective. That's actually doing some good. But you know, posting things on Twitter is terrible.
And by the way,
counterproductive.
As you point out, the Pope got into this. You said, by the way, George Will seriously had the sack to indirectly accuse the Pope of engaging in a self-esteem exercise? Really? This is from the guy whose entire career is about gluing on his hair, applying copious makeup to his emotionless face, and delivering pithy sound bites on Sunday morning TV in order to spin current events for a handsome paycheck and a big weekly ego trip. I mean, really...
Did I go too far? I mean,
no.
Was I
no.
Really
no.
Right on the
money.
Will?
Not far enough, in my opinion.
you know, I mean... It's remarkable. Again, like I said, this is a guy who creates sound bites for Sunday morning television. And you know what? I wouldn't be shocked if a lot of those sound bites were about 140 characters or so. and yet he's insulting, you know, what could be a pretty powerful device, which is the, you know, the use of Twitter to empower people.
I think he should have his own show.
In this case, very much so.
I think he should have his own show called Triumph of the Will. I think it's. I don't think that's taken off the check.
My
copyright lawyer.
My God. But you know, as you, I mean, the best point you make, Bob. You say, moreover, it's difficult to grasp criticism of any effort whatsoever to rescue those girls, no matter how insignificant. You know, but it's like you say, it's you know, almost predictable that the likes of George Will and Rush Limbaugh are going to mock it, right?
Oh yeah, well of course. Because, you know, again, because Michelle Obama is involved with it, because it has to do with technology and things that the teenagers use. You know, I sort of have this love-hate relationship with social media. I mean, I could see the hugely negative sides of it and the things that actually hurt America. And then I could also see the benefit of it, and this is one of those things, when, you know, when any technology really nails it, you have to applaud that, and in this case, Twitter really was effective for positive change. I mean, we don't know exactly what the outcome of this crisis is going to be, but at least it's moving in that direction, and I doubt it ever would have moved in that direction in terms of of reaching a positive outcome if it hadn't been for Twitter.
Yeah, no, absolutely. On a sad note, before we leave on politics, John Boehner says he cannot promise another 2 years as Speaker.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
He won't be able to help the American people.
The American people.
Oh, little kids, can't go to
Listen,
school anymore.
This is a sad day. This is a sad day for people of color, the orange color, and this is...
He can't go into schools anymore. He can't speak to children because he begins to cry. It is no great loss to anybody. The guy cannot hold it together when he speaks to children.
Could it be low T?
Could it? I think so.
No, high red wine.
He needs a disco ball above him. He says he fully expects to be Speaker of the House after the next election, but will he serve the whole term? He said he can't predict what's going to happen. He said, listen, I'm going to be 65 years old in November. I never thought I'd live to be 60. I'm guessing he refers to his pickled liver, but I don't know. But he said, borrowed time.
I'm suddenly getting cold feet because now I'm recalling some of the nutbags that are in Congress right now and who could possibly replace them. So maybe it's not so bad to have a blithering, sobbing drunk at the head of the House right now.
Okay, sorry, that made me giggle. Thank God the comedy gods have given us Trey Gowdy for the Benghazi hearings, right?
Yeah, you mean Commander Data from Star Trek?
That's what he looks like.
I never thought of that.
You're right.
And someone else said what's his name?
Draco Malfoy from...
No, the Martin Short character, Jackie... Oh. What's his name?
Jackie Wilson Jr.
Jackie
Rogers, that's right. Jackie Rogers, yes.
Yes. Hilarious.
Yeah, I hope they put Trey Gowdy's emotion chip away. You know, it's not functioning when he's running the committee.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Bob Seska, great stuff as always. See you next week, my friend.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There he goes.
Yay.
Hello.
The Daily Banter.
Yeah. You know what I just realized?
What did you just realize?
We got to get Melissa Fitzgerald back in here because the Nigerian girls situation, she's done lots of work in Uganda. She did the documentary after Kony.
Uh-huh.
She's waiting to hike. Let's grab... Travis, get her back in here. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use that promo code Stephanie. All right, Jim, look alive, Jim. Humphrey's back.
Humphrey's back in the city. Here we go. Humphrey on with Steffi. She's filled with squeeziness.
She's back, and she's been jingled twice now.
You could also play, Isn't She Pretty in Pink?
Today, yes.
Somebody tweeted.
Yes, Robert tweeted, yes, go get Melissa. I switched from TuneIn to Roku just to see that amazing smile.
Oh, I needed that on my birthday. Thank you.
And Bob Seska said, you have not aged a day since West Wing. Did you hear that?
Bob and Seska, I love you. Thank you.
And you know who would not disagree true. Would be your nephew.
Yeah,
my fiance.
Yes,
James.
Yeah, he said to me because I won the tennis championship when I was in high school at our country club, and he went and actually for the first time saw my name up there and almost fainted and had to call me, and he said, "I can't believe you won tennis at the club. I mean, how you are now versus then?" He goes, "I mean, major downpour."
Right. Right.
I'm like, I think you mean downfall, but whatever.
Whatever.
Wow.
Major downpour.
I'm going to have Bob Seska call him later. Yeah, but he was saying, and that is true because of Netflix. There's like a whole new generation that's discovering West Wing.
I know. It's so fun. It's actually really fun to be in D.C. and have so many people who work on Capitol Hill have been inspired by the West Wing. It's a really nice thing.
We went downtown to see Martin Sheen talk.
At an anti-war rally years ago.
Right, and we were thinking, God, I wish he were the real president.
Why can't he be the real guy?
He's amazing.
He's a lot better than Selena Meyer on Beat.
Jim and I realize why Democrats never get anything done, because there were too many splinter groups at that damn war rally. We're like, hemp people, come on, focus. We got to get out of Iraq is why we're all here.
Only wear hemp. You should eat hemp.
Hang on a second. Sean, Randy Rhodes' producer, wants to talk to you real quick.
Sean.
We want to talk about the Nigerian girls. Sean in Florida. Hello, Sean.
Hello, dear. Happy birthday, Melissa.
Happy birthday to you, too, my birthday twin.
It's your birthday today?
Sure. Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Isn't this awesome, Steph? The week I turn 40, I lose my job.
You understand that I am deeply in mourning over Randy Rhodes leaving on Friday's her last day.
I know this. In fact, just call me later this week. We'll talk about it.
Yes.
But I wanted to tell your listeners, do three things for me.
Okay.
For Melissa and for Randy. Can I ask them to do that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Justice for Vets, donate, get tickets, go do that. B, if you have not bought a Stephcast, if you have not bought the podcast, if you have not donated to Free Speech TV, do that.
Yep.
If you like Steph and you want her to stay around a long time and you want people like Travis to stay employed, don't tell Steph to, you know, leave Travis and hire me. Actually, keep Travis and, you know, send her more money.
That's what's happening. Something all about Eve.
Sean.
What's happening?
Are you saying my job is in danger, Sean?
Travis is just falling down the stairs.
No, but I'm saying that some listeners said, well, hey, maybe Sean could go, like, you know, fill in for Travis.
Travis could go the way of a North Carolina congressional candidate. Travis Fell, that's weird. He's so young and healthy.
But you are, Travis, you are.
But the third thing is read and vote. Because, you know, Gallup puts out the new poll today, and they say, oh, well, Democrats are blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But they also notice that Republicans are not really excited this year either. So
yeah, and the new polling. And, Sean, you saw that. The new polling looks like, you know, we're not necessarily doomed in the fall. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And do that for Randy.
Once again, you are correct.
Randy says, get out and vote 54 after. as she would say.
Exactly. Love you guys. Thank you much.
I have to
go help Randy now.
Well, you know that I'm going to have probably a few more drunken Twitter episodes talking about Randy as I did the other night.
No, don't worry. I try and monitor and help you out because
thank you.
I am a good producer, and also I care about you, my friend.
No, but thank you very much. Because we were just saying this Mike Rogers is getting a radio show. He's never done radio a day in his life. Randy Rhodes, 30 years in the business, the best in the business. And, you know, the latest news, of course, the Denver progressive station is going away.
Right.
And it is, you know. Well, here's the other thing you can do. Find a rich liberal, hold him upside down over a balcony until all the money comes out. Progressive infrastructure.
All I can say is I hope Mike Rogers has the same level of success that Rush Limbaugh has had in L.A. Oh.
Oops. Wait, oh, come on now. All right. Happy birthday, sweetie. Give Randy a big tongue kiss for me.
So, okay. I tell Randy you said hello.
I will. Okay. It's 55 after. You got to go. Hurry.
So he's Randy Snerdly, except he actually exists.
He exists, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Now, Melissa, we wanted to have you back because the other thing we were talking about, this horrible, you know, the Nigerian girl situation, but you've been on before your job as Justice for Vets with your fabulous documentary After Kony, which was obviously about the situation in Uganda, but you're sort of acquainted with a lot of the kind of, you know, horrible stuff that is going on over there.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, having worked with former abducted child soldiers and sex slaves who had escaped, you really get to see and experience what I didn't get to experience, obviously, but get to see what they experienced through their eyes and suffering from the trauma of that. And, I mean, what was inspiring is working with them and seeing how resilient and how full of grace and forgiveness they all were. But let's do things to make sure that this doesn't happen to other children, because it's horrific. And, and I really do pray that these girls come home and that they come home safe.
And ironically, one of the I can't remember who wrote in the Times really well. Your good friend Nicholas Kristof.
Yeah.
Who Melissa won Nicholas Kristof's writing contest a few years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
The only writing contest I ever won.
That's
the only one I ever entered, but still.
But, you know, but just about that, ironically, the most important thing you can do worldwide is educate girls.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why they're so freaked out about girls being educated in those parts of the world, right?
That's absolutely true. I mean, there was a whole story about a group of girls that were kidnapped in northern Uganda called the Aboki Girls. And you can look up the story because it's very inspiring, the Aboki Girls. And it was at a Catholic school, young girls abducted by the Lord's Resistance Army. And a nun went on foot after them to advocate for their release. And many were released. And I actually met with several times one of the survivors who was an Aboki girl. And she is now getting a graduate degree in peace studies.
Listen, so I did 12 years hard time Catholic school. You do not with the nuns. You do not.
No.
I agreed.
Just saying. All right. So it is Melissa Fitzgerald's birthday. What you could do if you were a fine American is go to the link at StephanieMiller.com, Stephanie Miller Show Facebook, buy tickets to the benefit concert for Justice for Vets, or if you can't go, just donate.
Donate. JusticeForVets.org.
There you go. On behalf of the Senior Director of Justice for Vets, great writer, according to Nicholas Kristof, Ivy League, smart, do-gooder.
One thing.
Do-gooder. And we did not notice, but smoking hot. All right. Mm-hmm. We love you, Melissa Fitzgerald. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.